Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I'm Julia Cannon. It's my co-host, Tracy Mahan.
Hello.
And we have as our special guest on our QHHT Level 3 series, our guest tonight is Elena Blage. Welcome, Elena.
Hi. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. And I'm so sorry I didn't get you on sooner, but that's where, like I said before the show, that's what Tracy has been so wonderful, making sure we've got everybody
Thank
on.
You, Tracy.
It's been my pleasure. It's been my pleasure for sure. Yeah. Getting to meet everybody is my goal here.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a huge accomplishment to get to the level three, you know, and get that level three certification. So I definitely want to recognize you for that and all your hard work that you did. So.
Thank you. It's well worth it. It's just a dream coming true. I don't have the words to express what this QHHT and, you know, all my journey and level three did to me. It's, oh my God, I'm saved.
Hallelujah.
So I'm over here muted so that I can get these switched over to live stream on Facebook. So I love that. I'm sad. Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, I read somewhere on a post that you were the first. Where are you from? Is it Romania?
Oh, I'm Romanian. I was born in Romania, in Bucharest, Romania. Yeah.
So the first QHHT practitioner to make to level three. Such a big, you know, it's a big accomplishment anyway, but it's always fun to be the first. So,
thank you.
Congratulations.
Now, you don't live in Romania though, right?
Yeah. I'm quite honored, to be honest with you. Do I see it like a great accomplishment? Yes and no. I just go with the flow, you guys. I learned not to look at everyone. Everybody's doing great, you know. But for me, I'm going to talk a little bit about my life. For me, this was the only chance that I got, that life gave me, to go all the way up in a certain job, I would say, or a certain, you know, calling, I would say, because life kept me on the sidelines for the longest time until I found Dolores, and then I understood, this is what I'm supposed to do. Let's
talk about that, because I want to hear your journey. So let's talk about your whole journey with QHHT, and let's go back as far as you can remember.
As far as?
Oh, no.
Back, way back.
I'm back. Okay.
So where does your journey begin, Elena? And would you prefer me to call you Elena or Lily?
You know, funny question. Great question. Because I ask myself all the time, who am I? Am I Elena or am I Lily? Who am I? And this goes back to where I was born, right? My dad and my mom, they didn't really belong at this, right? So my dad wanted to call me Elena. My mom wanted to call me Lily. So on papers, I'm Elena, but then everybody ended up calling me Lily, right?
Okay.
Anywho, later on in life, I was like, so what's the difference, my higher self, between Elena and Lily? Who am I? Uh-huh. Elena is the QHHT practitioner. Elena is the being that offers her heart when it's doing sessions, and not only when it's helping people. Lily is the crazy inner child. So you choose one on the short, because I can be the both.
Either one is perfect, and how about you choose which one you want to be right now?
I just want to choose the inner child one.
Yeah. We'll see. So I was born in Bucharest, Romania, a while back. Not going to get into that one. And normal childhood, happy. My parents, they got along. They didn't get along. Didn't really affect me much, to be honest with you. I was one of those latchkey kids. So I grew up with the key around my neck. Freedom, loved some parts of schooling, if I were to look at my life from childhood until I was 18, 19, again, I did not feel like I belong. I was looking around and I felt like a total stranger. I was even looking at my family. I have a younger brother. So I was looking at my mom, my dad, my brother, and I could see this magical trio between them, but I felt like I'm here. I'm not, you know, it, something wasn't not right, but I didn't fit in, right? So I grew up in a communist country, so that was quite interesting through the eyes of a child. Didn't affect me much. The only thing that I do remember is, number one, being a communist country at that time, we didn't have a lot of food in the stores, right? My parents had to go to work, and me being the older sister, I would have to wait in lines for 6 to 8 hours for the food truck to come, right? It ties up into something later that happened to me. That's what I'm saying. Okay. So I remember staying, I was 6 or 7 years old and staying in line, and I was getting so angry and so frustrated with life and with my parents. Why do I have to wait in line? I want to go play ball, you know, with the kids, but I couldn't because I had the responsibility to hold the line to buy food, right? So that kind of stuck with me a little bit. It was an emotion that I buried it, of course, you know, and then life happened and I moved on. Another thing that I think I should talk about, I don't know if you guys remember, in 1989, we had that huge revolution when our leader was shot. It was news all over the world. Mm-hmm. So I remember at that time, how old was I? 18. I had this urge in me to fight, but not physical fight, to go help. To go help people, to change something. I didn't understand where those feelings are coming from, but I was 19, naive, went on the streets, there were guns everywhere. It was very, very interesting and scary, you know, experience, right?
Wow.
So that was that. When I was 19, I met my husband, and we got married. We had a daughter. She was born over there. Then the very first day when I met my husband, he said, well, one day I'm going to go in America. Are you going to wait for me? Right? And I thought he's joking. I start laughing. Ha, ha, ha. You know, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll come with you. Of course I am. Right? 2 years into that, no. We got married 5 years after we got married. We won a lottery of visas, right? So what it means, we were accepted to states. So there comes that day when we sell our home, small house, 2.5 kids, 2 luggages, came to America. We ended up in Portland. My husband had some relatives over there in Portland. Tracy. Hi, Tracy.
So we were neighbors. So, I didn't know it.
Yeah. So Portland was nice in the beginning. Then again, I was trying to fit in. I was trying again to fit in. Didn't speak the language. Yeah. I was coming from a city in Portland.
You didn't speak English.
Yes. We moved. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You didn't speak English when you moved here?
Zilch, no.
Wow.
Oh my goodness, how brave of you.
I'm kidding.
I think I was naive, not brave.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so husband, 2.5 years old kid, and 2 luggages. That was our life. Moved to Portland, to Gresham. I didn't feel, again, nah, I didn't care. I was expecting what I was seeing on TV back home, like New York, California, high-rise, cities, right? Within 2 months, we moved to California. That's how crazy we were. So we packed whatever belongings we had. We moved to California, to San Francisco. That's where our life began, I would say. Okay. So I didn't have time to go to school because we had a kid that we had to take care of. So I pretty much looked to get any job I could. I actually, back home, I was working as an aesthetician license. When I came back here, I had to go back to school because I liked that. I liked that, job being an aesthetician and a massage therapist. So in San Francisco, I was going to school and working at the same time and taking care of the kid and all of that. But life, you know, how life gets, right? Mm-hmm. So I was able to build a little business, which was fine, was great. What I liked about being an aesthetician and working with clients, it's so amazing. When somebody comes and gets a facial, I can tell you, you become mother confessor. A lot. I like that so much. For me, I felt like I belong. This is what I'm supposed to do. I wasn't giving them counseling, I would say, but I would listen to their problems and I would hold the space, if you may. That gave me a purpose. That makes me feel good. Okay. So I've done that for a while, enjoying what I do. In San Francisco, as you know, it was very, very expensive. So I wanted a bigger home. I wanted a different kind of life. So we moved back to Washington State.
Of course.
Of course. It wasn't something that I didn't finish in Northern, you know, over there. So
at least you're saying West Coast.
Right, West Coast. There you go. There you go. So we moved there, and I did real estate with my husband. Best thing that ever happened to me, because I had some time on my hands for the first time. That happened in 2004. So again, take the kid, the husband, the dog, move to Washington State, start real estate business, all from scratch. We did great. That gave me time to look into metaphysical, to look into who am I, to start my spiritual journey. Although, since I was a kid, what would give me solace and peace and excitement was reading any sci-fi book that I could grab my hands on, okay? So in Washington State, I found Sylvia Brown, right? Mm-hmm. Bought all her books, read everything. I was so into it. Over there in Washington State, my back starting to hurt. So this pain didn't go away. So it started to become heavier and heavier. And I was getting a little bit depressed and sad and what have you. In 2008, the market crashed and we had to come back to California because there were no more jobs, what have you, couldn't sell homes and so forth. When we came back, my back pain started even worse. Ooh. So it became like I couldn't function. Mm-hmm. It was really, really bad. And I had to find a way to make myself better. So I tried every Western medicine out there. I tried everything. Mm-hmm. You name it, I tried it. Not getting into details.
Right.
I even had back surgery in 2014. I had back surgery at UCSF. We were back in California. That didn't do much to me either, right? And I said, listen, I had a talk with myself and I said, there is more to this. I had to get to the bottom of this because I need to get myself better. Now, what motivated me to look into what's going on with me? It was the way that I was making my family feel. Mm. I wasn't there. I was absent. I couldn't enjoy life. I was sick all the time. So I was putting this damp energy on everybody. And I didn't think that's fair for them. And I said, I'm going to make myself better. And I asked for help. I said, the universe, God, help me. I need help.
Right? Very powerful.
Yeah.
But it took a long time for me to start asking for help. When I did that, I found a book that was called Divided Mind by Dr. John Sarno. Mm-hmm. He was a back surgeon from New York. He was talking about psychosomatic issues, which are emotions that we manifest in the body. So for me, that was like the first step, like the light went on, right? And I said, okay, there is more to this, more to this. Right after I was done with his book, I found Dolores on YouTube. That was the end of it, you guys. That was
it. Life renewed right there.
Yes. Oh my God. Let me tell you. When I found her videos, something came over me, and I know I'm not the only one. I know whoever, you know, listens to Dolores's YouTube, they're hooked. When I found her, I felt like this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. This is how I'm going to get healed, because at that time I was still in a lot of pain, and I was not good. And I knew, I felt it deep inside, I'm going to get healed. This is my way. And I even told my husband, I'm going to go to the class, I'm going to get myself better, and this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Because I felt like with this is my purpose. With this, I can pretty much take off and be the best that I can be. Yeah. In previous jobs, I worked in property management a little bit too. I couldn't always go higher than, you know, a certain limit. It was someone or something that would block me. So I felt for the longest time that Elena's being kept on sidelines in life. I used to tell people, I'm being kept on sidelines. Mm-hmm. I have this knowledge and I have this power in me, but I don't know how to share it. So that was my life story until I found Dolores. When I found Dolores, I clicked. And at that time, we were living in LA. Okay. So I said, I was looking for a session to go get a session with someone, right? But it was just happening that within a month and a half, Julia was coming to Burbank. And I said, hey, there you go. That's my, you know, journey right there. So I went to class. And when I got to that class, I felt like, those are my people. I belong here. Oh my God. You know, this is what I'm supposed to do. They think the way that I do. I'm not weird anymore.
Not right? Anymore.
No. You found the hive.
Yeah. So I was thinking, I was a little bit bummed because I didn't make it in time to meet Dolores. But then in class, I was listening to Julia, and I was, you know, watching Dolores and listening to Julia teaching us. And in my mind, I was like, I hope she knows how good she is. I hope she knows how much we're learning from her, right? Oh. But I never told you that. So,
should we pause here and find out if she knew? Did you know?
No, but thank you. That's very sweet.
So, you know, after the class, we take turns and we practice on each other, right? So I was assigned with this lady. I blocked her. I didn't want her to give me the session. My ego said, no, 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 no. So poor lady, she had to bring me up because I was like, I'm not under, you're not doing anything to me. And she said, just stay there. Let me bring you up because, you know, she knew better, right? After she left my room, I was with this roommate, sweet, sweet girl. They both went to the pool. You know what Elena did? She put herself under because she can do that, right? So I put myself under.
Because Elena's obstinate.
Yeah.
Elena wants to do it her own way.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
This is going to be good.
So I put myself under. I listened to Dolores' induction. I put myself under. And I felt like I'm being lifted off that bed. And I felt electricity going through me. I was alone in the room. My roommate returns. She sees me laying on the bed and being all blissful and, you know, in joy. And she said, Alina, what are you doing? And then my higher soul started talking to her and she's kept saying, oh, we're working on her. She feels so good. She's doing great. She's getting all the healing that she needs. And my sweet roommate, she's like, oh, yeah. And she grabbed the, you know, my questions and everything. She's like, tell me more. What are you doing next? Because I know her life story, right? Mm-hmm. So to make a long story short, after the session, during the session, my higher self showed me moments from my childhood where my back pain started. So it was when I was waiting in line for food and I was getting frustrated. I did feel the pain at that time, but I didn't make anything of it. I was a kid, right? Mm-hmm. So it showed me that, and it showed me your parents, you know, they had jobs. Mm-hmm. They had, you know, they had to go to work. That was the only thing that you know, you could have done at the time. Just, you know, it's time for you to release that. So I did understand.
Can I interrupt there for just a second as to, I don't know if you're going to say that, but if we can talk about what that is representing. I mean, what I'm getting, because that little child was carrying all that responsibility to go get the food and make sure they got the food for the family, or definitely for the little brother. I guess it was for the family. I don't know.
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. That's a lot of responsibility that you were carrying, yeah. And the back was feeling it.
And you just wanted to go play.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah. It was a little bit more than that. I had other responsibilities, like clean the house and make sure everything is tidy and all of that. So that kind of carried.
It was all put on you, on your shoulders.
On me, on my back. Mm-hmm. Correct. Yes. So when I saw that in my first session, I said, oh my God, you know, I have to let this go. I have to forgive and let go. Why am I carrying this? Why am I making myself sick? It's me. I'm doing this to myself. And once I realized that, you know what my back started to make literally popping noises, like physically popping noises. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, oh my God, I am releasing all those emotions. I am letting go of all the trauma. So within 6 months after that session, my back was completely healed. And I have to tell you that before that, I was a vegetable. Like I was laying on the couch in victim mode. Poor me, poor me, poor me. In class, because QHHT classes are so empowering and so beautiful, I understood that we are harming the body. We have to start listening to the body. We have to process our emotions. We have to focus on what's important in life. Focus on, you know, love. Focus on seeing a glass half full instead of seeing it half empty. So look at the positive of things because we are creators. Mm-hmm. Understanding that, my life starting to change from that point on into becoming better. So on a physical level, I was getting stronger and I was getting healthier. On a mental level, I was waking up like really, really fast. And I started to really meditate and to, you know, learn as much as I can about QHHT and do my homework, right? So one day, I wanted to understand more about emotions. Who are we? What are we doing here on earth, right? Although reading Dolores' books and all of that, you know, but I had to feel it. I had to get it on my own. So I started meditating and asked my higher self, can you please tell me a little bit more about emotions, right? Mm-hmm. And then this is what came true. You know that experiment of Dr. Emoto with the jar of rice where you write love and you write hate on it, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my hair self showed me those two jars. And I said, okay, great. Yeah, I know this. Of course, Elena knows everything, right? It's like, no, you don't. Let me explain to you.
Well, in truth, though, we do know everything. Mm-hmm. Or we're connected to it, right? So give yourself a little credit there.
Yeah, but I just had to remember. Because
yeah.
So I said, okay, but I know everything is alive and everything has a consciousness. But rice doesn't have a consciousness. The rice doesn't know what to read the label on that jar, if it's love or it's hate. And my hand said, no, this is not how it's working. When you're writing the word love, you're feeling the emotion. You're projecting the emotion, that energy into that jar. Mm-hmm. When you're writing hate, doing the same thing. So the rice is reacting to that emotion. What do you think your body does? It's reacting to the emotions that you're bringing into the body. That's what it clicked. Like, now I understand.
Yes.
Now I understand.
So powerful. It makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I needed that because my stubborn mind, no. So from that point, I kind of realized, oh my God, this is powerful and this is working. I have to move on with QHHD and be the best that I can be. Why? Because I believe in it. For me, the belief system is huge. If I believe in something, then I can deliver. If I don't, it's not going to work, right? Mm-hmm. So feeling how I got healed in the class, I said, oh my God, I can help people heal themselves. I can help people realize that they are doing this to themselves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I can help empower them to get there and to understand what they are doing to their body. Okay. So that's when I started. I took my level one, came home, and started to do my 10 free sessions, you know. And it's funny, you think you don't get clients, but they show up. They show up. I was in a new location in LA, didn't really know anybody, but I was talking to people, to my neighbors, friends, whomever. They showed up so fast. So after that, I was like, oh my God, this is working great. You know, I always say, I have this saying, paying for the QHHD school for me was such a small price to pay for what I got in return, to be honest with you. Going to QHHD classes, it actually feels like a retreat. It doesn't feel like you're going to school.
Yeah.
Right?
You can't wait for the next day.
Right?
And when it's over, everybody's crying.
Like, oh my God, I'm going to stay here in this beautiful.
And then they say, yeah, we're all like in mascara raccoon mode. And then they go, okay, let's do a group picture.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's an emotional time to end the class. It really is.
It is. It's just because I think a lot of us that feel like we don't belong, volunteers, right? When you go there, you make friends, you make connections, you feel like home again. There's something that was missing, at least in my heart for the longest time, all my life. And it was the first time when I went to class, I said, oh my God, I belong here. This is me. This is really me, right? So now in 2016, in June, I went to level two in Eureka Springs, talking about retreat. That was so beautiful, so beautiful. Let me tell you, nobody could sleep because of the energy of that place is insanely beautiful.
Yeah. And all of the Christians.
Yes. So I actually came with
crystals combined with QHHT is really powerful.
It really is. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy up there when you held the class in Eureka Springs.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, such a magical place. I remember the hotel had this deck that was facing the forest. Mm-hmm. And since nobody could sleep, some of us would just go there and do yoga in the morning and meditate before the classes would start. So yeah, but it was very magical, very very beautiful. I really enjoyed that. So getting my level two kind of prepared me, not kind of, really prepared me. And it made me feel more comfortable and more, you know, open to move along, to be the best that I can be again. You know, I had more skills. So came back home, start practicing full time. I said, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And the clients will show up because I was focusing my energy into QHHT. That, for me, that was it. That was it. Now, in 2018, in November, I wanted to go to level three already. I'm like, I need to do this. This is me. I need to go all the way, right? In November 2018, it was a beautiful class in Hawaii, right? Mm-hmm. That I wanted. I did not feel it.
Yeah.
Like, something is holding me down. I can't. No, no. And it was so close to me because I'm in San Diego. It's like three hours away. Cheap,
right? Would have been much, much easier than where you went.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's hilarious.
And but I didn't feel it, and I had to follow my gut feeling, right? Thank God that I did, because a month and a half after November, my dog passed away, right, in December. And it was Bichon Frise, 15 years old, my little light worker, you know. She would just assist me in all my sessions, cuddle with clients, you know, very, very sweet. When I lost her, I kind of like, you know, went down the rabbit hole there. Mm-hmm. But before that, I enrolled in class in Australia in February. I enrolled in that one, right? But when she passed away, I was so sad and so depressed, you know,
sure,
that I wanted to cancel the class in Australia, to be honest with you. I said, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. But then it was this little voice, like, you have to go do it. You have to go do it, right? So from December to January, all the way to the end of January, I didn't do sessions because I couldn't. And I know on February 17, I was supposed to be in class. I had no session lined up.
Uh-oh.
I didn't know what I'm gonna do, but I trusted the universe. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, mm-hmm. Right? So I stopped working a little bit, but no sessions were good enough in my eyes. I wasn't good enough. The client sessions were fine.
And what you're saying is because you submit a video recording of a session, so that's what you were needing to.
Right. Yeah. Right. Thank you. Yes. I had no session to bring. Mm-hmm. I called a friend, not a client, who became my friend, and I said, "Hey, listen, Suzette is her name, sweet soul. I need you to come and, you know, let me give you a session because I need to bring a recording to the class." And she did. It was good. In my eyes, was good, right? So we came to Australia, right? Me and my husband.
Okay.
We came to class and something happened over there in that class. First of all, I needed to come to Australia because the class was being held in February 17th. That was when it started. That's my birthday. And I said, you know what? That's the sign. I need to go there because I know my birthday magic is happening. I'm going there, right?
Birthday, man.
But, yeah. But, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't come with any expectations. So I kind of prepped myself you're going to go there. You're going to have fun. You're going to learn as much as you can. And then you're going to come back and be the best and, you know, perfect it. I felt like, okay, I know I'm not there yet. I know, right? So having that talk with my ego, you know, you do not get upset if it doesn't happen. It's okay. You'll get it, okay? It made my life so much easier, and it was so joyful. That whole experience was magical. Just because I dropped the ego.
Yeah, that is a really big part of it. Just keep it over here, and then just like I love that whole approach. Drop the ego, no expectations, just be wide open, and it will flow. Because any obstacles, any issues you have there will be directly from the ego.
Of course, yeah. So I kind of program myself, if you may, to have a nice and breezy experience. Yeah. And I can tell you, from my side, it was great. It was great. I came home with so much knowledge, and I knew exactly what I had to do. I knew it's not going to be a short road. I knew it's not going to be an easy road, but I said, I'm doing it. I know I'm doing this, you know?
Yeah. But you're going down the road anyway.
Yeah. Why not? Right? Why not? Mm-hmm. So I have learned not to put any pressure on myself. And I said, I kept on submitting sessions, right? And I said, well, if it's not this one, it's going to be the next one. It's not this one, it's going to be the next one. But it will happen because I have started the process. It will happen, right? Yeah. And it did. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And you did a fantastic job. And that's the whole thing. I think that, you know, once you enter into that program, you are in that program until you get through. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, I didn't get through right now, so that's it, out the door. No, it's now it's a process. It's another journey. It's that takes you onto that. And but you will get through it unless you quit.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. I just want to say, Lily, you have a little bit of a fan club going on. Oh, in the chat.
Let's hear from them.
Well, yeah, we've got...
Thank you. Well,
Suzanne Spooner's in there saying, sweet Lily.
Yes.
Thank you. Christian, great job. We've got, there was one more that was, if I can find it again, Isabella. Lily is a wonderful person. I mean, come on. You've got this fan club. That's just one page. I've got it going on in two pages. Yeah. You got quite a bit of support coming in here. Somebody's putting emoji things up there that are moving and making my eyes go crazy. There's a lot of comments going on. So again, that's my job. I redirect you over to these pages after the show. Come check it out because you got a lot of support going on and people are really excited to I think, you know, a lot of them, it looks like there are a lot of them are supporting you. A lot of the other QHHT practitioners are in the chat and showing up for you. So just go over there and check that all out later because it's really fun to read through that and see what everybody's saying. Now, that being said, if you're listening and you want Lily to, or Elena, Lily, whichever one you're talking to, the inner child or the level three practitioner, leave a comment for her and let her know how you feel about that journey she just talked about.
Yes, because she's going to go read them.
Yeah, she's going to go read them. We're gonna make sure of that. Yeah.
So fantastic. And then, so now, since you have attained your level three level, how has your life been? What's been going on? Did your journey just stop right there?
No. It grew.
The pause was the best.
That's the answer I was thinking you were going to say. I'm like, uh-oh.
Was that a trick question?
Yeah, right? Oh, no. My journey, I'll tell you, you know what I felt? I felt comfort and I felt confidence and I felt empowered. Nice. And I felt like now I really have those skills to help the person in front of me. Because I know I had the compassion in my heart, but I didn't have the skills. I didn't have, you know, all that it took. Not that, because this is a work in progress. Okay. Am I better? Yes. Am I the best? Absolutely not. I'm still making tons of mistakes. Let me tell you. Okay.
That's how it is. You never get to that perfected state. It will never happen. So don't even try for it.
Yeah.
It's just always a journey of getting better.
I'm going to insert, that it is actually perfect for whoever you're working with. It always comes out perfectly. Absolutely. So maybe you don't see it as perfect, but you know what? You are facilitating something so much bigger than us, you know, and their higher self comes in and, you know, you're just there holding the space. Like you had said earlier, holding space as the esthetician, you're holding space. And this big thing is happening that you don't even realize, you know, they go home and so much more is going on. So it is perfect. Yeah.
I'm glad you said that, Stacy. Where'd Stacy come from?
I don't know.
Is there a Stacy in that group?
Well, Elena gets two names. So
is Stacy your inner child?
Maybe it is. I'm looking for a Stacy now.
Yeah.
Is there a Stacy? Can you explain that? I'm not seeing it just yet, but there could be a Stacy listening.
Anyway, I'm glad you put that in there because every session is perfect for that person. Absolutely so. But it's when we look for perfection, it's like those are expectations sitting there again. So
yeah.
You are so good at just not, you know, letting expectations go. And that's the best way, client and practitioner, to go into a session.
Yeah.
It's just no expectation. Whatever happens is exactly right for that client. As long as you are doing the very best you can do, you're always so compassionate.
It's so very true because this is what I tell the clients in the interview right before we begin the session. Please trust. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not driving this train. Your higher self, your subconscious mind is the driving force here. So I'm just tagging along for the ride. And I'm just helping you expand that state of consciousness to bring you that knowledge that you need to get today. So the more relaxed we are, the better the journey. So what I also have learned is to just go in the journey with each client, be relaxed and see what's going to happen. Because you never know. Each session is so different from the others. So just allowing whatever's meant to happen, it makes our job so much easier because there is trust. And when there is trust, there is flow.
Yeah. Beautifully said. So beautifully said. Yes.
That was not me. That was something about me.
And you were letting it flow, and that came out magically.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Well, I don't know if you're watching time, but our time is really going by quickly. So I want to get in some experiences you've had within sessions. Maybe we can talk about some of your favorite sessions or healing sessions. I always love to hear about healing sessions, but just anything, whatever comes to mind that you would love to share.
I actually have a few pages here, but
we need to get on.
She holds a book up. I have a couple.
I actually had a session quite recently that I blogged on Facebook a little bit about it. So I had a lady that came in for a session, and as she walked in, someone else, a friend, brought her in. And she walked in, she said, well, there is not enough light in your house. And I said, oh my God, you know, I'm so sorry. Let me turn some more lights, right? And I could see that she doesn't have a very good balance. And then I looked at her friend and she said, well, she can't see really well. She's only using 20% of her vision. And I said, okay, that's fine. You know, have a seat, we'll take care of her. You need to go now because this is going to be a one-on-one, right? So this lady, she grew up being at 13, her mom left. So she was kind of forced to take care of her brother and the dad, the family, the house, so forth. She was born with a fogginess around her eyes, like she couldn't see. She was telling me that I couldn't see the board in school, and the teacher would not believe me until one day when I took my binoculars from home and I put them on so I can see the table, right? Yeah. The board.
Right.
And she said, well, I was always like, I couldn't see too far. I couldn't see, everything was very foggy, right? But she said, I managed it with contact lenses and glasses, right? And I said, okay, that's great. Now, she got married, she had a baby, she divorced, single. Her daughter left for college 4 years ago, I would say. Since her daughter left, her vision got very, very bad to the point that now she couldn't function. She couldn't cook for herself, drive, go to work, nothing. Almost, you know, blind. Almost, but not quite there, right? And I said, great, you know, let's see what's going to happen in the session. I know you're going to get exactly what you need to get. You're just going to go there with an open heart and make the best of it, right? In the session, the higher self showed her alive. She was on a ship, little gray alien, okay, looking out.
How are those
related? And she was monitoring the space, the stars, the energies, planets, and so forth. She kept complaining, this is so boring, this is so boring. I'm sending all this information to the command center, and they don't understand that I'm so bored. Now, what happened with the ship, they kind of got into a vortex. The ship got sucked into the vortex, and they crashed on Earth.
Oh. Okay.
So from here, yes, from here, I said, so look at your body, what's happening to your body? And she said, well, our body template has, how do I say this, can transmute into a human body. So I said, do you have that technology? And she told me, no, I don't need to use any outside technology. It's within our body template. We can just take any form of or shape that we want to. And I said, great. So what happened next? She was a man. She was able to, so all the beings on the ship, they kind of spread apart. They didn't keep contact with each other. This man went into a village as a in a human body, got married, had a baby, and live this life until the end. Now I asked the higher self, so why did you show her that life? Because in my mind, what is this having to do with your eyesight, right?
Right.
And the higher self said, well, you know, she needs to adapt. She needs to adapt to whatever is coming. I have to tell you, my heart sank because in that moment I was like, thinking, I'm not this woman, oh my God, what if this is something that she chose as an experience to become blind, you know, because that's what her soul needs at this time. And the higher self said, well, it's actually about her adapting to the life without her daughter in her life, right? And I said, okay, great. How can you do the healing? When did this start? And what's going on here? What's the root cause? The higher self said, well, the root cause is she had a past life where she was very abused. Mm-hmm. And the only solace that she would get is go by a near lake, a very foggy lake, that she would just go in there. Nobody would see her and she will have her moment of her beautiful place, her solace, you know, her healing place, right? Mm-hmm. Now what happened in this life, she carried that fog with her around her. Mm-hmm. And also the fog was like a screen between the brain and the eyes, right? And
I said, that was her solace. Yeah. That was her solace.
Right.
Exactly. Oh.
Right. And I said, well, can you please heal this now? Because she does she need it anymore? And the hassles. No, doesn't need this anymore. But she needs to realize that she's never alone. She will never be alone. Mm-hmm. And she will actually find a soulmate, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the higher self started to heal, to do the physical healing and so forth. And I said, so what are you doing? Tell me, walk me through. Oh, we're clearing everything. The fog is gone. You know, she's going to feel so much better. She's going to feel so much light around her, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, great. So how is she doing? Is she, you know, accepting the healing? And the higher self said, no, no, she's not accepting. She's fighting us. She's fighting us. Like, come on, accept the healing. We got to do this. So she did accept the healing in the end, understanding that she will never be alone. Someone will be there for her and she will find a soulmate. Now, what made me giggle after the session, I didn't have any lights on, you guys. So after the session, I, you know, bring her out. She was a little bit tired, drowsy, what have you. And then she looked around. She said, well, did you turn the lights on? What's going on here? And I said, no, no, we didn't turn any lights on. Those are your eyes. Those are your eyes.
Yeah. Wow.
So right there, right there. Yeah.
Very exciting.
That was, yeah. Yeah, so I was very happy for her. I hope she's going to keep it up because I told her, never think you're alone. You're never alone. Trust that you are going to be with someone in your life. Because in a QHHT session, you know, as you all know, the healing happens in all sessions. But it's up to the client to keep it. Look at the emotions that you brought in the body before the session. Listen to the higher self, listen to the subconscious, follow those advices. If you don't, you're going to manifest the same thing. Understand that.
Absolutely.
That's a great, great thing to add in there. If you don't, you're going to keep manifesting the same thing. The lesson is more important than how many times you have to look at it, right? So.
Yeah, that was one of my recent, you know, sessions. So I was really happy and I was really glad that she came. Really glad that she came because she needed this so bad. She needed this. Mm-hmm. Now, can I just say, can I just share another session really quick?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I had a client, sweet lady in her 40s, right? She was trying to get over a breakup with one of her most recent boyfriends. She would not understand why she keeps on attracting the same type of abusive man over and over and over again, right? She was born in Japan. And as a kid, her mom used to beat her up all the time and lock her outside the house, sometimes naked, sometimes naked, starting at the age of 3 years old, right? She was ashamed, she was terrified. She was waiting for her dad to come home at night to open the door because she would be locked outside, right? Now in the session, the higher self showed her this life when she was 3 years old, locked outside, hiding behind a tree naked, right?
In this current life.
Yes, in this current life, yes. Mm-hmm. When I moved her back, she was just being born, in the hospital, right? And I said, so look around you. And she said, well, I'm in a small white box. Wonderful. Who's next to you? And she looks around and she says, well, my dad is next to me and he's so much younger. Yay, dad, right? And I said, how is your mom doing? Something was like pulling me towards mom, right? And I said, well, how's your mom doing? And she said, well, my mom's not doing very well. She just had me. I don't think she's good. I feel she's sick. And I asked her to project her consciousness to see who's on the bed. How is your mom? Describe her to me. So she looks and she starts crying and she was so confused, telling me this is not my mom. So what happened was this was one of her dad's girlfriends that passed away while delivering this child. And her father, the dad, took her and brought her home to his wife.
Wow.
And that made sense why, you know, she was treated the way that she was treated. Mm-hmm. after the session, we were both so flabbergasted, we couldn't say a word.
Wow.
I never saw that one coming. I know, me too. The body. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's crazy. But so, yeah.
And it makes so much sense.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah, of course. So. But she was supposed to see that. So that's what I'm saying. You never know what you get in those sessions because the higher self has that different perspective, that higher perspective of things that our little mind cannot understand that. That's right. Why when you go have a QHHT session, if you're a client, you know, just go trust in your higher power because they know what you need to get today. Trust on that. That's how magic happens, with trust and faith and no expectations. So this was mind-blowing.
That one is. Yeah, well, they both were. You get the little gray alien that morphs into a human body. Those were great stories.
Absolutely. That is wonderful. Before we run out of time, can you tell people how they can find you, Elena, if they want to get in touch with you?
Yes. I am in San Diego. My website is www.qhhtelenablaj.com. I'm here. My heart is open. Come and see me. I love to hear from you. And this is an amazing journey. QHHT, it's something that I don't have the words to describe it. Mm-hmm. It's magical. It's powerful. It's gentle. It won't give you more than you can handle ever, because I have clients calling me like, I'm so afraid to do this. What are you talking about? This is so easy to do. Nothing to be afraid of.
Right.
Yeah. Because again, we have the divine guidance here. We're just, you know, tagging along for the ride. Yeah.
So gorgeous. So gorgeous. Don's telling me we don't have a time limit, so we can share a couple more stories if you want to. I just wanted to get that in case we did. I'm talking about. Okay, Elena, it's your show. Go for it.
Yeah, good. I'm going to pull this. I'm going to read this one. Okay, so you
got all like cracking knuckles.
This ready. This one's very, very nice. This is a very sweet story. So this man, we're going to call him Sal. This man comes from out of town, right? And he was born in San Diego, but he lived in Arizona. I can say Arizona. He comes to me because he felt a connection, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel so honored when people do that, to be honest with you. It's like, are you willing to travel like 6 to 8 hours to see me? Get someone closer. No, it's you because I feel like I trust you. Okay, thank you. He comes in and he divorced his wife 2 years ago. They met when they were 19 and he thought there's twins, soulmates, what have you, right? But, you know, she had to break the marriage. She wasn't happy anymore. And he broke his heart. That broke his heart. He was crushed, right? And he said, I need for you to help me to heal my heart. And I said, well, I'm just going to guide you and see what the higher self will, you know, bring forth. Mm-hmm. In the session, he finds himself in front of a beautiful forest where a light translucent being showed up to guide him. Uncertain and reluctant at first, he felt this being was there to help, but he didn't want to go into the dense forest. What is the being doing? I ask. It wants me to see it. It doesn't put out a frantic energy, but somehow it feels so distant. It's pointing on something on the ground inside the forest. It's a mushroom or something. Can you tell me more about it? It's blue. The mushroom is blue, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. Are you able to communicate with this being? Yes. It wants me to eat it. It says it's going to be good for me.
Oh, sure. Eat the blue mushroom.
Right? In my mind, I was eat the darn mushroom. Okay.
Sounds reasonable.
And I said, how is this mushroom going to be good for you? He says, it will help me drop the walls around me. I feel like my body in this place is walking in quicksand, like every movement is so heavy. So what are you doing next? I'm looking at the mushroom. The being is standing on the other side of the tree line inside the forest next to the mushroom, but I'm still outside of this, in the field. I was like, come on, get closer, get closer. The being kept pointing in the mushroom, right? He finally gets closer. He picks it up and he looks at it, right? And I said, what do you want to do next? And he said, I don't know. I'm kind of scared to eat the mushroom. It's like, again, eat the darn mushroom, right? He picks up the mushroom. He looks around and he says, well, there are no more mushrooms but this one. It is blue with white stripes. Wonderful. So now I said, are you going to eat the mushroom? And he said, yeah, sure. I'm going to eat it right now. I'm pulling it from the ground and it feels very fresh, crisp, about the size of a grapefruit in my hand. I'm taking a bite now. It feels very earthy, crunchy, but with no particular taste. I ate the whole thing and I feel that it will take a little bit of time to integrate, but I see my body, my stomach in a different way now. Like I'm outside of myself. And it's emanating an energy that's coming out of my stomach and going outward in all directions, displacing everything. Now, I feel like I look exactly like the other being. Can you describe yourself? I'm white light. I don't have that heavy physical body anymore. How does it feel now? Weightless. Are you ready to continue your journey then, guided by this light being? Yes, I feel like I'm flying now. I'm faster than the being. He's now a bit lagging. Ha ha. I see myself on top of the trees. I'm guiding him now towards the mountains. I'm taking him to this log cabin in the middle of the forest. It's a very private cabin. Going inside, there is an area in the back that I've always called my library, like in the back of my mind. I've always had this idea that my life experiences are books on the shelves, and that's how I process things. I take things down and I read. As I'm showing the being around, he is quietly looking at all the books and all the things that I have felt. He's quietly scanning the books, and I see a book popping up. Oh, interesting. Can you describe the book? He gets very emotional. It's the book of Mary, his ex-wife. I take it off the shelf, and I put it on the table so we can look at it. The being is flipping through it, and I'm asking, what was the point with this book? Because this book was a very important book to me. I remember putting the book on the shelf because it was not on the shelf. It was my life. Not long ago, I had to put it on the shelf. Can you ask the being, what does he think about Mary's book, about this chapter in your life? He said that I needed to heal. What is it that you needed to heal today? He said myself. How can you do that? He said that I need to be myself, not to worry. It's that book complete, I ask. Yes, it's already being put back on the shelf. How can you completely release and let go of this book from your life? As much as I didn't want to hear that, he says, you have to burn it. But I don't want to lose the good stuff, he says. It will still be with me, the being says. I will just have to let the book go. The experience will be with me. Well, I'm still holding the book, and he's saying that we can take this book in the living room where the fireplace is. The book is not going to be gone. It will just change form into ashes and then out to the chimney into the world. It will just not be held in there, into that library anymore. As I look at the library now, that's the only spot that's empty. Going back near the fireplace, I see him throwing the book into the fire, and it lit up with blue flames and white sparkles. We are now both sitting on the two rocking chairs, by the fireplace watching the book burn. What happens next, I ask. He stood up from his chair and sat down onto mine. So the being stood up from his chair and sat up where he was.
Okay.
We just became one. I don't really understand what's going on, but I feel a little bit bigger.
Wow. That kind of made me want to cry a little.
And the story.
So hard to let that go. Yeah. What a neat story.
The end of the story.
Yeah.
So the higher self told him, when I called him the higher self, he said, well, you have to leave that old energy from Arizona behind, because your home, your thoughts are like wallpaper all around you. You're breathing that energy of sorrow, of grief. You need to move out. Mm-hmm. So he did.
Yeah.
He came back to San Diego. And last month, he actually just sent me an email saying that I'm here and I just met someone wonderful and I just want to thank you.
Wow. Yeah.
So beautiful. That's what I was thinking. It's like, so as long as that book was in there, it was him holding on to it. And that's that was so, wow.
Huge metaphorical image going on there. But yeah, you could feel the pain of him having to put that in the fireplace.
Yeah, so, and in my mind, I was screaming, burn the darn book, burn the book.
You're holding the flame under it. Go burn it.
Yeah.
Wow. Eat the mushroom.
Eat the mushroom.
Any of you guys want to find that blue mushroom with white stripes?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Let's eat the mushroom.
Right? Yeah. But it's interesting how the wisdom of the higher self is so amazing. It's showing to the client in a way that it helps them understand the message that is trying to refer. So I usually say, QHHT is really customized per each client needs. It's not going to give you more than you can handle ever.
Okay, the audience wants a piece of that mushroom too, just saying.
I'm with you guys.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. They never give you more, and they give you exactly what you need, which is what you said earlier. They give you exactly what you need for right now in your life.
Exactly. And the interesting part is, the more a client listens to the session, especially the health part, the more healing, the more information, the more knowledge is coming to you. It's, I call the session like a time release. Because whenever you go back, you're hearing something different, something that you didn't hear the first time.
Right, and you're off. You're put back in that same frequency that you were in at that time. You will always go back to that, and that's where all that was happening. So, yes, you were trying to say something, Tracy.
I was.
Well, I interrupted something. Sorry.
I was probably agreeing with your wisdom in there somewhere.
Okay. One more? Can I do one more?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
One more.
We need tissue for this one.
Huh? I'm sorry?
Do I need tissue for this one?
No, this one is a little bit relevant to what's going on right now in the world.
Wonderful.
Oh, yeah, we want this. Yeah.
It's not too deep, but I think it's good.
Good.
Okay. And thank you for giving me the time to share my stories. I appreciate it.
Good stories.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. They're fantastic. Yes.
Yeah.
I call this one an angel's mission. So my client, Angela, is experiencing herself as an angel that has a counterpart here on Earth. Her mission is to spread knowledge for the times ahead. Can you tell me a little bit more about your mission? I'm here to spread knowledge. The old systems will collapse. It is changing now. Those with eyes to see and ears to hear will understand and recognize. She is so strong now that hearing, seeing, and feeling things will act as triggers to reawaken their own higher self. And from there, it's their own soul purpose to dig deeper. It's all out there for us. We just need to tune in. How can one tune in? We need to shed the layers of programming that we have built in our system. It can be done. It's more challenging for others because they choose those challenges. It's for our soul growth, so we need to trust the process. Dolores Cannon was right when she said, "Do not live in fear. Fear is holding everyone back." We need to take away the fear by trusting in love and find the inner guidance, because that's the only place it will come from. Nobody will bring it for you. It's all within ourselves. We just need to step back into it. And once again, we'll bring it forth. When you bring it forth, it will expand. The new earth is ready for us. It's great, magnificent world that's right around the corner. It seems it's pretty close now. Yes, it is close. It's only as far if you believe that it's far. But the door is open now. We just need to walk through. How can one find that door and walk through it? Do not separate yourself from each other. Don't separate yourself from what we think is non-living, because everything has life. We are all one, interconnected living beings beyond the soul. We are one, still back to the infinite God. How can we step to the door towards the new earth? Tell me more about that. The new earth is here. You'll have to work at it. We have to figure it out ourselves. It's part of the awakening process. Surrender and let go. Free the mind. Take control of your thoughts. Cut out the monkey chatter, the movie that wants to play in the head. If you can't stop it, you can change the scenery. Bring in more visions of happiness, of joy, and the light that we came from. Me. When do you think this shift will be completed? When the majority will step through that door? I don't know. But I do know no one will be left behind. It's now shifted that no one will be left behind. Are we going to shift through our own consciousness, or we will have help from our star brothers and sisters? Both. We also have help, and then it will come to a point that we will not need the help anymore. Earth will be a place of balance and high vibrations, and will become an interdimensional place that beings from other planets will visit, stay if they want to, or come and go as they please. Can you tell me more about them? This help. There is help now through the interdimensional realm. They are always helping. Whomever has the ability to connect, they are coming through for them, but not a lot of people are quite there yet. What can we do more of? We are on the right path. Don't think too much about what it needs to be done, because that takes the focus away from enjoying what is already here for us to enjoy. If it needs to be done, you will know, as you're always guided. So many are caught up in doing more than up to be doing more to be pleasing others, that we forget to enjoy the moment. This is a changing world. We have to be aware of that. What can you tell us about the unrest in our world right now, like this virus? Everyone has their kind of interpretation, but it's all part of the bigger plan. Whomever is affected by this, the suffering is not really suffering. That's why it's so important to awaken and see things from a much higher perspective, because then you realize it takes place in a physical realm, but it's really a spiritual path. Mm-hmm. That body being affected by this disease is really choosing an exit point out of this earthly experience. This will end soon. And there is a cure coming. This is not going to be long lasting. People who have the spiritual connection are helping through their thoughts, meditation, and vibrations. Do you have any advice at this time? Be patient. Love yourself more. Get out of your head and don't focus too much on what's being said or done. Nothing is in vain. It's all for a higher purpose anyway.
I love it.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, they're saying get out of your head and go to the heart. Yeah. That's yeah. You operate from the heart.
Totally.
And what was it about the trust? Trust in the love. I'm trying to remember what was said specifically there. That was so beautiful. I'm going to listen to this again so I can get all this wording, because that is so good.
It is good wording, yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Powerful session.
Yes.
Yeah, I felt like I needed to share this one because I think everything is happening for, you know, mm-hmm. Everything has a higher purpose. We are all choosing and we're all manifesting certain experiences on this. So instead of being in the victim mode, me, oh my God, what happens to me? What about, you know, step into your power, take action and see what can I do about my life to make it better.
And when you're saying that,
well said.
You know, absolutely. And when you're saying that, I'm thinking about how many times have we, you know, like some of my greatest growth came from first being in that victim mode and then pulling myself through that and coming out. And so I think that is just some of, it doesn't have to be part of the experience, but it sure, it's, there's nothing wrong with it whatsoever, because that you get huge growing from there, because you're tapping into your heart center.
I think a lot of us learn to go into victim mode, like it's a learned behavior. It's something that we're taught, that things are happening to us. And and I went through a huge piece with that too in my life. And it does kind of push you into your ascension or evolution. So yeah, to pull yourself out of that victim mode and take charge of your life and take responsibility for what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And actually they're saying is, well, yeah, who set the life up? Mm-hmm. who set the experiences up so that you could go through them? And that was, each of us set up our own life experiences with our guidance team. And that was just, you know, to grow from that. It was like, let's put ourselves in this position so that we can learn from it and go from it. And so these victim situations are very divine. They are very designed.
And they're designed by us. Ha ha.
Yeah, so we are not victims. We created it. So we can learn from it and grow and come out these powerful.
Yeah. Very, very true. I was comparing to my life and my brother's life and how our childhood was differently. Because we both use the same parents and the same circumstances to a certain point. And as I'm looking back, I became stronger. I became more independent. I became, I realized that I had the awareness that I have to rely on myself only in life sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. While, you know, my brother, it really, how do I say this? It affected him. It still does. It mm-hmm. still does. I still feel trauma in him. But for me, it just shifted some within me. When I look back, it's like, oh, if I could do that, if I went through that, this is easy. This yeah. is not, yeah.
Yeah, we all chose empowering. Our experiences, and then we all choose how we react, how we adapt, all the things from that experience. We mm-hmm. choose how we will get through it, you know, in the process, in the being of it.
Absolutely. And I always say, I remember this so very well. And when I'm even talking to clients at the end of the session, I'm reminding them, can you please do not react right there on the spot. Mm-hmm. Take some time off and then act. Okay, yeah. Remove yourself from the situation and then come back and act when you're
yeah, you mean like, okay, in the heat of a situation, don't do a knee-jerk reaction. That I call it that. It's like you're just immediately responding to something.
Correct. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I wasn't explicit enough. So yeah, when it's you know, let's say it's a heated argument between husband and wife or what have you.
Right.
All you can do is be aware of your reaction. That's the only thing that you can control in life, the way that you respond to a certain situation, right? Mm-hmm. So knowing that when things are heating up, don't react. Don't put that energy, that fire. Don't answer the fire with fire. Remove yourself, take some time off. And then when you're calm and in a flow, then you say your piece.
So it's okay to remove yourself from a situation.
Why not? Yes.
Why not? Because I, myself included, sometimes we feel like, well, I'm in here. I've got to stay in here and fight to the death. By golly, we're going to make this work. We're
gonna got our boxing gloves on.
Yeah.
No, and that came to mind. So I know please tell me there's others of you out there that.
I'm thinking of one recently where I'm like, yeah. Probably should have walked away mm-hmm. or been less reactive and less triggered, but you know, we learn from those moments too. So yeah.
Yes, you don't always have to stay.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you can do. Just remove yourself. And there is something else that I have learned. And like you were saying earlier, Julia, it's so good to function from the heart and to see things from the heart. And this is what helped me a lot, I guess, after I found Dolores and QHHT. Instead of reacting from my mind, let's say I will have someone, you know, charging at me, right? And instead of trying to give the answer from the ego mind, I'm dropping into my heart. My heart is telling me a different story always.
Yes.
Always. Mm-hmm. So it's so simple, but then we need to remember all the time, like, okay, I'm not going to charge it. Let me just check with my heart. And my heart will say, well, maybe she's had a hard day, or she's just projecting her pain. Just let it be, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's so beautiful because the heart will see it from different perspectives, you know, where the head is just, you're coming from yours, and right. you're just taking it face value. But the heart,
yeah.
And I like that because I never really considered it being the heart. I just was always like, I see things from different angles. But I think that's what it is. It's just you're looking at things from everyone's different perspective.
Yeah.
And that is very, very helpful if you can. Yeah. It's confusing sometimes because then the head really doesn't know what to do. It's like, I try to make sense of this whole thing.
Yeah, but it's such a powerful tool. And I do want to say, I kind of bounce around. I have two chats that I'm watching. So forgive me for you guys that are commenting on the current subject that we're talking about, and I'm not getting to it. But there's a lot of people in here that this is really a meaningful conversation. So keep going and keep talking about it, because I think it's helpful to a lot of people and helping them
That must have been why it came through that way, because it's like there's a lot of people that feel like they have to stay, and you don't. And that was so important that you said that. Mm-hmm. Step away, remove yourself from the situation, and then if you go back, you have a different composure. You know, but definitely look at it from a different perspective. But I think that's the healthiest thing that you can do, is just remove yourself from the situation.
Yeah.
Right.
Tracy and I have talked about this so many times. It's like different ways of loving yourself and showing love for yourself. And that would be one of the ways. Don't put yourself in these situations or allow yourself to stay in these situations that are not healthy.
Well, and think about this too. A lot of people grew up in households where the parents were fighting or arguing, or, you know, you see that interaction, rather it's with a boss or with a spouse or whatever. And it becomes this learned behavior. It becomes this pattern. And then you go into your life and you're having those same kind of reactions because that's the way you see it. I know I had a session one time where it was, the person had just gotten married and the whole marriage went to pot, you know, and here they have this great relationship and then they got married and it went to pot. And it turned out that it was because they saw in their childhood that when their parents, their parents are married and they're arguing all the time. So something switched when they got married that meant, oh, now we fight. And so that had to get cleared. So, yeah, it's good to look at what did you see growing up or what were the patterns and how is this being mirrored and is it true? Is it real? Can you change it? Is that a truth? Is that a learned behavior? So these are really cool discussions that can really empower people if they just step back, like you're saying, pull yourself out of the situation. What's being triggered right now? Why are you reacting or wanting to react this way?
Because without even knowing, we're all programmed since birth, if not a little bit later on in life. And we do carry those programs with us throughout life and we act accordingly.
Yeah.
So I think awareness, being aware of the way you react, is the first step in changing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you, like you're saying, it's, you know, it, like you're saying, that way you're reacting, look at that. Because if you're having a reaction to something, that's telling something on yourself. It's like, okay, there's something I need to look at. Like you say, it's awareness in yourself of what you need. That's why that person is there, that situation is there, is to create that reaction so you will look at yourself.
Right. Very, very true, because everybody around us is the mirror that we need to look into ourselves. Like whoever's around, they have that programming them to show us this is what you need to work on. But at times we get very blind because the ego gets in there.
So we have to put it right in our face.
And we don't wanna listen to that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's very interesting. I always think as the heart being the really the gateway to our divine self, to our subconscious, our higher self, you know. So when you're functioning from the heart, I feel like you're more aligned with your true self, with your real self. So
that's when those answers really come in. I want to say, and the audience are saying it's a game changer. Finally getting what it loving myself really means. Those are the kinds of comments you guys are getting with this conversation.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah. Wonderful stuff. Thank you guys for commenting. And again, go over and check those out after the show. And you're going to be reading for a little while.
Yeah. Okay. Elena, we're at an hour and a half. Wow. So can you give your website again?
And yes.
They can find you if they want to.
San Diego. I'm located in beautiful San Diego. www.qhhtelenablaj.com.
Well, and even if they're not in San Diego, they can come see you, right? I mean, maybe not.
The answer is yes.
But once you're through this, I mean, they can come from other places, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Fantastic. And Tracy, how can people find you?
Well, I'm in the Portland, Oregon area, and you can go to come to TracyMahan.com and find everything you need to know about me there. So, yeah. And Julia, people want to become a fabulous practitioner of this beautiful family that we are all part of, how would they find information about that?
You can find information at qhhtofficial.com or DoloresCannon.com will also get you to that site. So you can get all the information you could want, and then you can sign up, you can register. We have online courses. And until further notice, I mean, we will have live classes again as soon as we get the go-ahead that we can do that. But right now, we're really focusing on the online world. And yeah. So, yes.
Come find us all.
Come find us Lena, all.
Thank you for letting me spend this time with you. That was so fun to get to know you.
Thank you, guys. Yes. Thank you. I really appreciate. I'm honored. Thank you so much for this opportunity and for allowing me to share some of my crazy stories.
Allowing us to share in your world, your crazy world of QHHT. I mean, because that's your life now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're in the weirdo society now. So
yes, you found your family. Welcome to the fam.
And anybody else who needs a weirdo family, we're here.
For the poster children.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Love you, Elena. Thank you so much for being here.
Love you, Julia. I love you, Tracy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tracy. And thank you, everyone. We love you.
So glad
to be with us.
Thank you, guys.
Good night. Bye-bye.